everybody. Welcome back to the Gridiron Podcast. It's season 2, episode 3. We didn't have an episode last week due to some scheduling issues and some technical difficulties as well, where we tried to record, but the file was corrupted. So here we are, a week later, to talk about essentially 2 weeks of football. But instead of going game to game, we're going to be talking about a rough basis on where the teams in the NFC North are sitting. And we'll start with the last place team in the Chicago Bears.
I mean, yeah. Let's see. They played the Raiders and had a bye week. So I think the Raiders game, honestly, was underwhelming for them. I thought, you know, winning by a blocked field goal against the Vegas Raiders, who are barely putting up points, they got the job done. But it wasn't a win you're looking for if you're a Chicago Bears fan. I think that, you know, going into that game, there was one thing that couldn't happen, and that was Ashton Jeanty. And that guy ran all over the Bears defense, and that's basically what could get him going for the season, because before that, he was averaging about three yards, if I'm not mistaken, and he ran all over that Bears defense. So luckily they hit a bye week, and they're getting healthy, and we'll see what they do coming out this week against the Washington Commanders.
Yeah, and to kind of speak on the Bears a little bit, we saw them try that flea flicker, and also stumble bum. We saw them try pulling out stumble bum out of the Lions playbook, and those were very slow in developing. So it goes to show you that you can have trick plays, but you have to have the players to be able to run those trick plays, like the Lions.
Yeah, I was also going to say there was a couple things that were positives for the Chicago Bears, and that was takeaways. Geno Smith, though, he is prone to turning over the football this season, so you're definitely going to get some interceptions, which the Bears did. But one other problem for the Chicago Bears was the run game. It seems like they're still struggling on the ground, as Swift, you know, I think he had 2.8 average on 14 carries for, what was it?
2.6.
Yeah, about 40 yards or something last week. So they're still struggling in the run department. I wonder if they'll be contenders for a running back, you know, when the trade deadline hits.
Yeah. I mean, speaking on, like, the run game, too, we talked about this in the offseason, their free agency acquisitions at offensive line.
Yeah.
And we were like, this is going to be a top offensive line in the league. And they've given up a good amount of sacks. They've given up very little run yardage. And Caleb Williams a lot of times has to scramble outside of the pocket and does not have time in the pocket. So my question is, do you think it's a formation issue, or do we really think it's a running back issue?
Actually, no. So Ben Johnson did come out this past week, and he did say it's not all on DeAndre Swift. So it may be a formation issue with the line and, you know, not picking up coverages, or just, you know, run blocking isn't that, you know, they're not doing too good. So I do think it's coming down to the offensive line. I'm not saying it's an effort thing, but there's got to be some sort of miscommunication, or they're just not efficiently doing their job. I mean, Swift, he's not the best running back. Like, he's not like an every down back, but you know, I don't think it is all on him, because he does have that explosive ability in him, but he isn't an every down back. So maybe he is leaving some yards out on the table. I have seen a couple times where he had a highlight, but instead of cutting one way, you know, he should have cut the other way with open field. So I do think it comes down to a little bit of both, but that offensive line isn't performing to what you and I both thought, you know, they were going to.
Yeah, at least it's not as bad as the Houston Texans offensive line. Like the video that I sent you, you had the entire offensive line blocking one guy. And it's just looking really bad for Houston, kind of outside of the NFC North. But I want to talk about this next team, the third place team sitting at 3-2, the Minnesota Vikings. Now, obviously, J.J. McCarthy is out. And they go into Dublin, Ireland against the Steelers. And we all know what happened.
Nick, I actually want to ask you a question because this is interesting. Do we really believe J.J. McCarthy is all that injured?
I think this is the same thing that I think about, like, a Lamar Jackson. I think they just believe that they're in a tough situation and they really don't want to play it out. I don't think Lamar's truly injured based on the way he's been coming off the field when he was playing. And I think it's the same boat with J.J. McCarthy. Now, realistically, J.J. McCarthy could still be recovering from the injury last year. There is a possibility about that, but I don't truly believe that he is that injured to what they say that he is.
Yeah, because the Minnesota Vikings are in a win-now situation. I mean, not win a Super Bowl, but they do have guys that they signed, their defensive line, for instance, Hargrave. Who is the other guy they brought over? I'm blanking on his name at the moment. Anyways, a couple other acquisitions in the secondary. You know, this is not a full rebuild and, you know, we're going to take time to develop J.J. McCarthy. It's J.J. McCarthy is getting plugged in and expected to win a couple games. Maybe they make the playoffs, maybe they don't, but the first couple of starts for J.J. have been really rough. And the only time we saw him do well was against the Chicago Bears. So I was really wondering, is he really this injured or are they really playing this up?
I truly think they're just playing it up because you have essentially, technically they're considering this his rookie year, right? Because he didn't play last year.
Yeah.
So you have a rookie, right? In potentially still the toughest division in all of football. And you have a rough two starts. I think he played in two games total. And I think it's a lot like the Lamar Jackson situation. I think it's a lot like what the Cleveland Browns have going on now, where now they're starting Dylan Gabriel and got rid of Joe Flacco in a trade with Cincinnati. But you have a good wide receiver core in Addison, Naylor, and Jefferson over there in Minnesota. So the fact that you are struggling that much says a lot. It could be an offensive line issue because Minnesota's in the same boat with barely getting any rushing yards. And I think realistically he's not as injured as they say he is.
Yeah. Right now, you know, we want to talk about the Vikings some more. They just took a nice victory against the Cleveland Browns, which, you know, it was a last-second touchdown by Carson Wentz to put them at 3-2. I'm kind of curious, Nick, going forward, do you see the Vikings still in the same light that we did in the beginning as a potential NFC North threat?
No. I think, personally, the Packers and the Lions are just leaps and bounds ahead of the Bears and the Vikings. And we'll talk about those two teams later on in the episode. But even with the Packers' struggles over the past two games, I would say, I would still say that they are leaps and bounds above Minnesota and Chicago. I just don't think that Minnesota's offense can really continue scoring points. I mean, they're one of the lowest scoring teams in the entire league right now. So you have a strong defense, right? Defense can win you championships, but you got to be able to score points on offense.
Yeah, it definitely seems like Carson Wentz has taken, you know, some steps back. Obviously, he's a backup in the league now. He in the past couple games, I know he didn't throw any picks against the Steelers, but, you know, still averaging 21 points in the last two games, you know, It's not the best, but it's not the worst, I suppose. I don't think it's enough to win you a football game. Against the Browns, it was. But, you know, against a better team, it's just not going to happen. So I could definitely see some problems there as the Vikings are having some quarterback problems at the moment. But, Nick, you talked about my team just a second ago. And I know a lot of people want to hear the last 2 weeks because it's been crazy. So I'll give my take first, and I'll let you chime in afterwards. But, you know, I think this is – the Cowboys game was crazy. I mean, absolutely nuts. I mean, so many flukes, just so many problems with that game, but I'm not going to dive into that game because I could go hours about that. I think this is a good time for the bye week for the Packers because, you know, we're going to get healthy. We can get some schematic things, you know, figured out because there were just so many problems with that Cowboys game. And I don't think the defense is by any means, you know, back to being terrible. It was a fluke of a game. Dak Prescott, I know you like to take shots at the Cowboys, Nick, but Dak Prescott is still a quality caliber quarterback who can throw and put up numbers. I'm not saying he's a top five quarterback. I'm not saying he's, you know, better than Josh Allen, but he's still a solid quarterback. And guys like not Brandon Cooks, George Pickens stepped up. And the running game, you know, unfortunately was good for them. But so I think as a Packers fan right now, yes, it's crazy. You know, you should be 3-1 or at least 3-0-1 or whatever. But going forward in October, you have the Cincinnati Bengals, Arizona Cardinals, and Pittsburgh Steelers. So there's a potential here to get back on track at 3-0, if not 2-1.
Okay. You ready for me to take my shots now?
I'm ready for it.
I would consider the Packers' tie with the Cowboys as a loss for the Packers.
Oh, definitely.
I know. Okay. I thought you were going to disagree with me on that.
Oh.
Because you both score 40 points and it ends in a tie.
Yeah.
Teams that are at home, there's a stat that came out. Teams that are at home that score 40 points with zero turnovers before that game were 100-0. Now they're 100-1.
Yeah.
Personally, I would say the Packers are on a decline. I think Josh Jacobs is not living up to the hype. He is averaging, I think, 3.4 yards a carry this season so far. It's very low. And Jordan Love, now going into the season after week one, I would say Jordan Love is probably a top five quarterback. I would not say that now. I think personally, he's kind of been struggling a little bit. Yes, you have the injuries to the wide receivers like Jayden Reed, who is a huge target for, and Watson. You have those type of injuries, but I would say that now, we talked about last week about Micah Parsons and potential of his injury. After watching the Cowboys game, his return game, I am believing more and more that he is truly injured. He looked kind of sluggish, I would say. Not like overly sluggish to where it's like, okay, yeah, he's 100% injured. But he looked a little sluggish against Dallas. And for Dallas not having CeeDee Lamb, yes, George Pickens stepped it up, but for Packers not to come away with a win is a disappointment. And I'm saying that as a Lions fan. Like, that is 100% a disappointment. I will say that really, based on how the Packers played, they really should be sitting at 2-2.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, Nick, actually, you pointed something out that I wanted to disagree with you on, and that is Jordan Love, because Jordan Love, besides week one, actually just played his best game. So I'm not saying he's a top five quarterback right now, but he's certainly just not pushed outside the, you know, top 10. I think
I'm not saying that he's outside of the top 10. I'm saying, like, he's on the outside looking in, maybe, like, 7 or 8.
Okay.
I wouldn't put him at 6. I would put him at 7 or 8. I'm not saying he's outside of the top 10 by any means, because there are a lot of quarterbacks that are way worse than Jordan Love and some quarterbacks that are way better than Jordan Love. So I would say that he's kind of in like the middle of the top 10, like 6, or maybe I would probably put him at 6 at the highest.
Okay. It seems like after
8 at the lowest.
it seemed like after this loss, or tie rather, you were like, oh, Jordan Love, you know, fell off and the Packers are in a full decline. The Packers are on a decline, 100%. There's no, you know, disagreeing with that. It's just a matter of, I mean, Jordan Love is not on a decline, though. That's the funny part. I mean, yes, yeah. Against the Browns, total stinker. But, however, I think a lot of that, again, comes down to Matt LaFleur and how he is just schematically not there.
I'm so glad that you said that.
You know, this is a big problem for the Packers right now is schematically, LaFleur is way too conservative. There were so many things in that Cowboys game where you're just sitting there scratching your head. I'm sitting there yelling at the TV because none of it makes sense. None of it makes sense. And I'm glad that we get a week off to come back in the month of October. Like I said, potentially go 3-0 to 2-1 at worst, hopefully. Yeah, we need a regain because lots of things just went wrong.
Now, let me ask you a question. And I feel like this is kind of early to ask with the games coming up, right? You have the Bengals, the Steelers, and who else?
Cardinals.
Okay. So, say, for instance, you guys go 1-2 out of those three games. I'll give you guys the Cardinals win. I'm asking 100%. If you guys go 1-2 in those next three games, do you think Matt LaFleur is on the hot seat?
You know, it depends. So this is the funny thing with the Green Bay Packers, because if you look around the league, it seems like the only team in the league that can beat themselves is the Green Bay Packers. You look at, I mean, teams that lose, but, okay, the Cardinals last week were a different story. However, when you look at, like, the Packers' losses, it's always just, I mean, I know any team, you can really sit there and say, well, they beat themselves. But the Packers legitimately beat themselves. I mean, it is just Matt LaFleur with the play calling, you know, not making some plays that need to be made, you know, I don't know. But if we go 1-2, then I think Matt LaFleur, there's definitely questions to be had because that shouldn't happen, especially with this genius of I don't know what they called him, a offensive mind or whatever. I don't know, but not
offensive mastermind.
Yeah, he's not showing it. So definitely questions to be had because the Packers are in a win now situation. If Matt LaFleur is not the guy, then, you know, it's time. But I still like him. I'm not saying that, you know, he's a bad coach. It's just, like last year, we've seen the creativity that can happen in Dallas. And then you transition to this year, and you see in the last 2 weeks, you're like just two different teams. And it's frustrating. Very frustrating.
Yeah, I can agree. That's kind of why I pointed it out, because you have to be creative in the NFL. You can't just do like, oh, first down, we're going to run the ball every time.
Yeah, right. But
like, you have to throw in like a play action or like on first down, run a pass play. Right. Like, it has to be somewhat creative.
But Nick, talked about my team. Your team is sitting in first place the last 3 weeks, 4 weeks rather. They've gone 4-0. I know they haven't had the most competitive games, but you got to be pretty happy with sitting at 4-1. So I'll let you talk about your team and how you feel about them moving forward, because I know they have a big game coming up this week.
Yeah, so Lions sitting pretty at 4-1, obviously. The Browns and the Bengals, as you said, are kind of easy games. I think realistically we forced the Bengals to make a trade, I would say. Because now they traded for Joe Flacco, another quarterback that we just whooped on. The defense is looking really good. That is what I was scared of going into the season. Our run defense is, I believe, second in the league currently. And our pass defense is sitting pretty at third overall in the league. And getting three interceptions against Cincinnati, yes, it's Jake Browning and not Joe Burrow, but getting three interceptions, one from Alex Anzalone, one from Kirby Joseph, who now has five interceptions on the year, and we're only in week five, and Amik Roberson. And Terrion Arnold almost had one as well. I will say that our offense is looking really good. We have the most points in the league overall. We're averaging 34 points a game currently. The only game that we didn't reach that milestone was week one. But I will say that the creativity out of John Morton is definitely showing. You had David Montgomery going home to Cincinnati, his sister being able to watch him for the first time in years since her accident that paralyzed her, and having both Gibbs and Montgomery out on the field at the same time. Like, I've been saying this every week. How are you going to stop an offense that has the best running back duo, who just tied the record for most touchdowns by teammates in the NFL with 14 games together, and having them on the field at the same time? Jared Goff has been looking really good. Before this week, he wasn't sacked in 3 weeks. So the offensive line has been looking rather smooth, minus now Giovanni Manu stepping in for the injured Taylor Decker, who gave up 3 sacks of his own. And now the secondary getting injured. DJ Reed is on IR. Terrion Arnold had to get a second opinion. It's looking like he's probably back by the end of this month. It was looking like a season-ending injury. And Kirby Joseph kind of being 50-50 right now. But I would say having the backups that we do with Rocky Sin, Meek Roberson, and then Avante Maddox at safety, I think is a really good pairing, no matter how you put it. And then let's talk about breaking the streak of first drive touchdowns allowed by the defense. Every game so far this year, they have given up a touchdown on the first drive, minus this past game against Cincinnati. And are we saying that the game against Baltimore was not competitive?
Oh, no.
Is that what I was hearing?
What? No, definitely.
Okay. Because I was going to say, you said 4 games that weren't competitive. And I'm like, the Baltimore Ravens were in there.
No. I said they won the last 4.
Okay. I misheard you on that one. But, I mean, going into Kansas City, I'm having an early prediction. Jared Goff has yet to lose to Kansas City in his career, and I think that continues. Travis Kelce has been looking like a bum, and there is no receivers for Kansas City.
Oh.
I think the pass defense, Aleem McNeil potentially back this week against Kansas City, so that's going to be a big addition. I think the pass rush is going to get there against this offensive line for Kansas City. And I think our offense is going to keep rolling. I think Dan Campbell is going to continue going for it on fourth down. I think they were 2 for 2 on fourth down against Cincinnati. But my main concern is a little bit of our run game. You've had games out of Montgomery that have been really good, and then some games where he's averaging like 1.2 yards a carry. Same with Gibbs. And I'm hoping that this game against Kansas City helps them break the record that was previously held by Emmett Smith. And I think, I don't know the other running back for Dallas that did that. So I think the game against Kansas City, we all know what happened last time Detroit traveled to Kansas City. Week 1 of 2023, Lions won 21-20. I'll have an early score prediction. I want to get your opinion on this. 34-28.
Actually, I have made my score prediction already for my picks, and I got the Lions. I think I said 31-20 or 23, something like that. I don't think it's actually going to be all that close. I think the Chiefs get a late touchdown, but the reason being is after that Chiefs loss to the Jaguars, you know, I was really surprised by that. I really think this Chiefs team as a whole is a lot different, and, you know, a lot of receivers obviously being injured, or, you know, Rashid Rice being suspended. It's just, you know, Pacheco's not able to get going. I think there's a lot of problems with this Chiefs team right now, and finally, I think it's come to the end of a dynasty. It's the end of an era. Finally.
Yeah.
So I actually think the Broncos are fairly a better team right now than the Chiefs. And I think the Chargers have that potential right now if they get Hampton back. But that's a side note. I think the Chiefs, yeah, I don't think the Chiefs are even going to be remotely close to the Lions, but, you know, you can never count Patrick Mahomes out. I don't think, though, he'll be able to do anything miraculous this time. So I got the Lions 31-20-23.
Okay. And you kind of mentioned end of a dynasty. Now, talking about the AFC just briefly, who do you think comes out on top? Early prediction.
I would have said the Ravens, but, you know, I don't know what happened there because they completely wiped the – I mean, they just – I don't know, fully have spun out. As of right now, I gotta say the Bills. I mean, how can you not say the Bills at this point? Every year I want to say the Bills, but, you know, it's just when they get to the playoffs, I don't think the Chiefs are in their way this year. So what can stop them? Is it the Broncos? Is it the Chargers? I don't know. You got to say the Bills,
though. I'd even throw the Colts in there.
Yeah, I mean, can't count the Colts out right now. They're playing good football. We'll see if they can get tested some more. I know they did beat the Broncos, which was a big win, but we'll see what the Colts do going forward, but I got to say the Bills.
Yeah, I'd say the Bills, and then I'd probably say the Chargers right there. Either the Chargers or the Colts. Broncos is not a bad pick either.
Yeah, they got good defense. But yeah,
I just don't think that the Chiefs have it in them to take down a steamrolling Detroit Lions team. They've been running through teams.
I know we kind of already did this. We'll skip over the Lions-Chiefs game since we did that. But looking at the NFC North games for this week, I want to take a look at them and get some predictions from both of us to see how our division opponents are going to do this current week, starting off with the Cincinnati Bengals against the Green Bay Packers and Joe Flacco going to verse the Green Bay Packers for the second time in 2 weeks. So the funny thing, Nick, I actually want to share this with you. I know people are out there. Joe Flacco is going to beat the Packers again. This guy hasn't looked competent except for 1 week, Nick. And do you know what week that was?
Against the Packers.
No. Week one against the Cincinnati Bengals, because that's how bad their defense is.
That is true.
That's how bad their defense is. So I think the Packers, after 2 weeks having off, come back and they mop the floor with the Cincinnati Bengals. I think the score is going to be 31-17 or 14. Not going to be close. I mean, they have to. They cannot win this game by 4 or 7. They're almost 14.5 favorites.
I'll disagree with you.
All right.
I think Cincinnati takes it.
Okay. Just a hater.
Hey, the only team that I hated in our division truly is the Bears. But I will say that because of the fact that now Joe Flacco has better wide receivers in Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, yes, the defense for the Bengals is a question mark for me. But I'll say that I believe it's going to be a close game. Maybe like 24-21. And I think it's another blocked field goal that wins a team a game. We've had a lot of those so far. Blocked field goals for wins this year. And I think it continues.
That would be nuts and absolute heartbreak. I think if that was the case, then Rich Bisaccia would be on the hot seat for sure. Going into the next game,
100%.
We got the Chicago Bears going against the Commanders, which is a fun one. Obviously, we know what happened last year with the Hail Mary by Jaden Daniels. So Bears fans are back in Washington, going to try and get revenge for what happened last year. This is a toss-up, in my opinion. Jaden Daniels is still coming off a knee injury. I don't know if he's...
He is back, though.
He is back. I don't know if he's going to want to run as much, but they do have a good run game with McCoskey. Can't even say his name.
Yeah.
But as they actually call him Bill because his name is so long, which is funny. But nonetheless, I do think the Commanders take this one in a 27-23 fashion. Close game.
I'll say the exact same thing. I'll do it a little differently. 21-17.
Do we think, I think, okay, so I think the Chicago Bears coming into this game have to do one thing, and they have to stop the run. Do you think that the Commanders will be able to get a run game going?
Yes.
I
think that the Bears' defense, especially like the linebacker unit up until the secondary, once someone gets to the second level, it's pretty much toast.
Yeah. And Merritt's a good runner from what I've seen. I like him a lot. So, you know, I'll be very interested to see what Jaden Daniels does. I do think the Commanders, although they have a weaker secondary, I still think Dan Quinn's a great coach, and I think they take it in that fashion.
And I think that one person that is going to be reliving what happened last year is Stevenson, 100%. Because he was over there celebrating with the crowd, like, yeah, we won, just to have Hail Mary bounce right into his hands.
That was quite the Chicago Bears moment. I think it absolutely crushed their season last year.
Oh, it 100% did.
It was funny, but not funny at the same time. I mean, but
they proceeded to lose 7 straight after that.
Eberflus, man. We love that guy.
Just couldn't call a timeout.
Yeah, right. I don't think Ben Johnson will be going home with any timeouts.
True. But let's talk about, I know this is an early thing, right? Because Vikings have a bye. But they have the Eagles coming up after.
What about it? What about it?
I think personally, if the Bears beat Washington and that game is coming up, the Packers better win. I think that if the Bears beat the Commanders, the Packers are going to be looking at this game against the Eagles and looking at placings of where everyone's sitting and saying, we have to win this next game. Because it's the Eagles. The Vikings are going to lose to the Eagles.
Oh, yeah, 100%. 100%. There's no way. I don't believe in Carson Wentz or JJ to get the job done by any means.
Yeah, but I think the Packers are going to be looking at that game just based on seeding in the division. If the Bears come out against the Commanders and take a win, the Packers are going to be looking at those next three games and saying, we got to go 3-0.
Absolutely. You must go 3-0. You must go 3-0.
Yep. And then, yeah, it's going to be an interesting week in the NFL coming up. Obviously, everyone's saying already, Super Bowl matchup, Super Bowl preview, Kansas City versus Detroit. It's not going to be a Super Bowl preview, and I'll tell you what. It's because Kansas City Chiefs. I think the Lions are a contender for the Super Bowl. I don't think the Chiefs are.
I agree with that.
So that's going to do it for this episode. Thank you guys for tuning in. And next week, we're going to have a little something special where I absolutely roast the Packers again. So
when they win, yes, when they win.
We'll see about that. So that's going to do it for this week's episode. As always, thank you guys for tuning in. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. We are going to be posting shorts here coming soon. And also, go check us out on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, everywhere you get your podcasts. And go follow our Twitter at GridironPodNFL. We'll be posting updates and links to everything. And also, if you want to be a guest on our show, go ahead and message us on Twitter or email us at gridironpodcastnfl@gmail.com. That is our email. If you want to be a guest on our show, go ahead and send us a message or an email, and we'll get back to you. But yeah, peace out.